This week's Crossman Conversation is brought to you by Meeks Capital, Frontier Partners, First Horizon Bank, and Crossman Career Builders.
The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
The Crossman Conversation is hosted by John Crossman. John's heart is to see our community of leaders unite around what we have in common. John will be joined by political leaders, religious leaders, as well as activists making a difference in our nation. Here is your host for the Crossman Conversation, John Crossman.
Hello, this is John Crossman, and welcome to the Crossman Conversation. Mike, all right, listen, I know you want to get started on the show, but I have a quick story.
Okay, bring it on,
just
man.
Just listen to me, okay? Have you ever had a time in your life where you're like, you're just stuck someplace for like a long period of time, and you get kind of bored? And then you kind of like, what do you do when you're kind of bored like that? One example that might be if you've ever been to a college graduation. I don't know if you've ever been to a college graduation.
I've done that a few times.
You have a bunch of kids.
Yeah, that's right.
You've been through that. So I was a trustee at Valencia College. And so I had this experience where I'm sitting on stage, right? So you're sitting there with other trustees and smart folk. You know, I'm not one of those folks.
But he's big academic. No, John, you are.
No, you know, academic, you know, doctors and things, you know. So I'm sitting on stage, and it's hours, right? You know, you're sitting there. And it's a big moment for people, and you're respectful. But I have a game. This is one of the games I like to play. All right, you're ready for this? This is a game you can play when you're with some people and you're bored. And it's called Three Tenths. And this is a John Crossman original.
Okay, I'm excited about this.
All right, so what I want you to visualize is that if you had a party in your backyard, and you had three tents, and you had like 100 friends over, and each tent could have different kinds of food in it, what kind of food would be in each tent, right? So you might say, well, I want one tent that has Italian food, and one tent is an ice cream bar, and one tent's, you know, Chinese food, you know, or whatever the kind of thing.
Three great food groups.
Right. So it's always a fun, like, Southern cooking one, right? Mm-hmm. You might slide barbecue in that. It's kind of cheating, maybe, but you know what I'm saying? Like, you have them there. So I'm sitting there with these other important muckety mucks, and, you know, we're there for a long time, and I said three tents. And so one person, this super part smart person, said, my answer would be one of the tents has to be baseball concession food. And I was like,
love it.
That's an interesting answer. Go on.
Yeah.
And they were like, you know, like hot dogs.
Right.
And all the kinds of things you would get at a baseball game. Would you believe that person became the president of Valencia College? And it's our guest today.
Oh, that's great.
That's who, Kathleen Plinsky, president of Valencia College, superstar leader, also enjoys a hot dog at a baseball game.
I love it.
Thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
Is that the most unique intro you've ever had in your whole life?
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
Do you remember us playing that game on stage?
I absolutely remember us playing that game on stage.
And you are a big baseball fan. You're a sports fan.
I am.
Yep. Did you grow up a sports fan?
I did. Growing up, I was a huge Chicago Cubs fan.
Of course.
And thought I was going to play. Nice. Yeah. Thought I was going to play first base for the Chicago Cubs. That was my first career aspiration.
It could still happen.
So it could still happen. Right?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I have a walking buddy. Every Saturday morning, my buddy Wade and I go walking. We walk my dog together. I have a 135-pound Great Dane, Pepper. I had to get plugged a Pepper on here. But he's a Cubs fan. And so where we go, he wears his Cubs hat. And I'm always amazed how, like, there'll always be somebody walking by, hey, and, like, you can see that cultural combination there. So are you a Bulls fan as well?
I am.
And
I grew up. I grew up during the Michael Jordan era. And
sorry, Michael.
And the Bears, of course. Yeah. 1985, Super Bowl champions.
Yeah.
It's been kind of
refrigerator
difficult.
Perry.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Real quick. Now, was that team undefeated? They lost a game, didn't they?
Oh
gosh, did they
I'm
lose?
Not sure.
Did they lose a game on Monday night against the Dolphins? Dan Marino, did that happen? Oh wait a minute! I'm sorry. I'm a Dolphins fan. I should have disclosed that. I'm sorry. Well, you got some great teams. So Jordan and Walter Payton, those are all great, great names.
Yep.
And so you grew up in Chicago area.
I did, and my favorite player growing up was Andre Dawson.
Wow, how about that?
Yeah.
How about that? So, and so you're still a sports person to this day.
I am.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Do you is baseball your number one favorite sport, or do you have other sports?
I would say so. I think I played a lot of softball growing up, so that just sort of, when I'm at a baseball stadium, that just feels like being at home. I've adopted football. You kind of have to.
Right.
In the South. So,
you know, what's fun is there's a lot of things about our era today that are a lot better. And one of them is that I'm a track guy. And when I was, I ran track in college. And so I had friends that, you know, I wasn't that good. I had friends that were really good. And they went and they ran professionally in Europe. And it's like, you know, like other sports. Well, now I can see all that on TV. Like I can watch track meets on TV during the summer, just like you would watch a baseball game. I can watch track and field.
How cool is that?
It's really fun. No,
yeah.
We live in a better time. It's like my dad played Division III college football, and it was always an ordeal to get to see his team play. And now, like, you can see it all. It's just really great. So it's a better era, all that kind of stuff.
I agree.
So walk me real quick academically. You're a sort of bachelor's, master's, PhD. What are they in? They're like in nuclear bomb making or something.
Nothing that's violent by any stretch of the imagination. And I would say, too, that path was influenced a bit by sports. I actually thought I would play softball in college.
Okay.
And then my senior year of high school, I actually tore my ACL in a single game of powder puff football.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
So
that
definitely changed my path. I attended Indiana University for my bachelor's degree and earned that in physics and Spanish. Go Big Red.
Hoosiers, yeah.
My favorite class was coaching of basketball with Bobby Knight.
Come on, for real?
For real.
So hang on.
My mind is just now blown.
I know. It's like you gotta unpack all that. First off, I think it's cool whenever I hear about a person's. It's sad you got injured. At the same time, it's cool that the sports gave you a trajectory. It got you thinking about college.
Absolutely.
And so even though it was removed, it still helped you go into that space. So that's cool.
And
you have respect for the game. Now you're at Indiana and. The legendary coach Bobby Knight was your professor?
Yes.
That's crazy.
There was a lab section where you'd actually run drills that they would think would be good for, you know, this was really meant for high school coaches, and you'd actually run drills during lab. If you got there early, you could just shoot free throws at Assembly Hall. That was the benefit of coming to class early. And then Coach Knight would deliver the lecture every week.
That is awesome.
It really
was. You know, it's funny because I remember that one time when you got mad at me, you threw that chair at me across the room, and I was like, "Why? I wonder why she did that." And
now it's clear as mud. I know.
It makes total sense. That's total sense. So that's a legendary kind of thing, right?
Once in a lifetime experience.
Yeah. And so, all right. Sorry, I was just finished. Well, what I was going to say is, like, do you feel like as a college president? I mean, you're a college president, like, I'm of a major college, one of the largest colleges in America. Like, does that sport coaching, is that in your heart when you look at these young college students? Is that part of your DNA when you look at them and you're trying to mold them and things like that?
I think there are many, many lessons of leadership and perseverance and determination that athletics provides. So I think that is sort of baked into my DNA, if you will. And then I would just say that I tend to be fairly competitive. I've learned to turn that into... for Valencia, establishing really bold and ambitious goals for what's possible and helping us work toward those dreams.
Yeah. Well, you guys got some secret sauce over there for sure. Not so you tell her about your secrets, but it's great stuff. So did you say physics?
Physics and Spanish.
Okay. Now hang on a second. First off, physics. That's crazy. I mean, I was joking about the nuclear bomb stuff, which you probably could at physics. And then why Spanish?
So I'm the first, my parents didn't graduate from college. So the whole notion of connecting what you studied in college with a job or a career was not clear to me mm-hmm. when I went away to college. And it just so happened that my favorite teachers in high school were my physics teachers. And so no one else was picking physics as a major. So that seemed like a kind of a neat idea.
Sure. Sounds super neat. That's the word I was thinking. Neat. Jeez. But get to Spanish though. That's
right. So in between my sophomore and junior years, two things happened. One, I did an internship at the Fermi National Accelerator Laboratory in Batavia, Illinois. And my job there was to plot data that was being collected from a detector where we were smashing protons into lead glass and trying to find evidence that this theoretically possible particle called a glue ball, which was three gluons stuck together, trying to look for evidence that had existed in one of these collisions. And my job was to plot these graphs. And if there was a blip in the graph at just the right spot, that would indicate evidence that this glue ball had existed. And one day driving to the internship, I thought to myself, if I see the blip in the graph today, who cares? That was how I realized I should probably not be doing physics for the rest of my life. That same summer, I took a class at my hometown community college as a Spanish class, and our professor was from Venezuela, and she was much more interested in teaching about the culture of the people who speak Spanish, more so than verb conjugations, and then I was hooked. And so if you actually look at my undergraduate transcript, you almost see this two pathways where my first 2 years, it was all physics and math. And then my junior and senior year, it was almost all Spanish. And just combine those two things. But then I graduate thinking, okay, what does one do with a bachelor's degree in physics and Spanish?
All right, well, hang on one sec, because I got to say this to Mike here real quick. So, Mike, all right, listen, first off, you know, I'm still working on English, right?
Yeah,
like,
right.
I'm still working on one language. I haven't figured this one out, right? There's two. I want you to watch this. All right, I want to ask you a question, and I just want you to answer it as you would normally answer it, but I want you to do it completely in Spanish. You gotta watch
okay.
This. Okay. So, President Plinsky, tell me how you're feeling about this fall at Valencia College.
Bueno, es muy emocionante que ahora tenemos estudiantes en los recintos. Tenemos 7 lugares en Orange y Osceola, y les damos la bienvenida a todos.
I don't know what she
said.
I don't know what she said.
I think she ordered Chinese.
I believe. That's right. I mean, I have seen her do that and been sitting next to people who have been shocked. I've watched people who are like, I cannot believe this lady. Because, you know, your name doesn't sound like you're Hispanic. I'm not trying to be stereotypical here, but it doesn't, you know, Ancestry.com doesn't sound like it would be. And then you speak it, and it's not just that you're speaking in Spanish. It's like, you're nailing it. I mean, but that makes sense. It's not like you just picked it up. It's like you academically studied it.
Correct.
And so you seem to really get it. Because even like when you say words like Venezuela, I say it sounds horrible, like screeching on, and like you say it sounds beautiful. You have there's a better academic appreciation there. That's what I'm trying to say.
I would say it's both academic and then also cultural immersion. So I've really prided myself. I studied for a bit in Mexico and have traveled to Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic, Peru, Ecuador, Spain, right? So just trying to get that broad cultural base as well.
We're going to have to take a break here, but I have to imagine that that connects you so well with students. I love hearing this because you can see how, like, she's working with thousands of students, and it's about empathy and connecting and humanity. And so the sports connects with some, and the science connects with some, and Spanish connects with others. So she's so cool. All right, we're going to take a break. This is the Crossman Conversation.
This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business, and it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
It's said that it's not how much money you make, it's how much you keep and use to plan for your future. Nathan Meeks, principal at Meeks Capital, combines leading investment techniques with modern financial planning software to be the resource you turn to for clear, objective, and sound financial advice. For a no-obligation consultation, call Nathan at 407-494-5439 or visit meekscapital.com.
Are you willing to serve communities in crisis around the world? To people who are impoverished, oppressed, and persecuted? Frontier Partners International offers mission opportunities in areas least served to meet the needs of the helpless, the hapless, and hopeless. To learn how you can be a partner of this frontline ministry with your time, talent, or treasure, visit frontier-partners.org. That's frontier-partners.org.
Here's a call to those who want to make an impact on their company, their community, or who possess a desire to make the world a better place. Crossman Career Builders provides the tools and resources for you or your company to make a difference on some of the toughest issues that we all face. Crossman Career Builders partners with CEOs, politicians, and pastors seeking to address problems of racism, mental health, addiction, justice, and suicide. CrossmanCB.com.
Once again, here is John Crossman.
Hello, this is John Crossman back at the Crossman Conversation with Valencia College President Kathleen Plinsky. People want to be seen, right? And they want to be able to connect to other people. And that's just such a core part of that, right?
Absolutely.
And it seems like in your role, you're able to do that.
Our students are amazing. And it is just a privilege to have the opportunity to get to know their stories. And so many of our students have overcome so much to get to where they are.
Well, you know, you know, you replaced a legend. You know, it's a big deal, right?
It is a big deal. And one of the things that I've learned is that you can't fill someone else's shoes.
Right.
So this is my path to Forge, and I've learned that the one thing about being a president is you have to bring your whole self to the role,
right.
And you have to be authentic in that role, and that's what I strive to do every day.
That's awesome. Well, I want to talk about the subject of college, something you know about, affordability, and practicality. Okay.
Absolutely.
Right. So, my oldest daughter Claire is in college. She's a freshman at Palm Beach Atlantic.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. And her right now, she's pursuing a BFA in theater.
Wow.
And so she called me the other day and she said, "Dad, like sometimes I tell people I'm a theater major and they kind of give me a really hard time." And I said, "Well, sweetheart, you're going to have to get thick skin because there's two things people are thinking, or, you know, kind of a combination, don't know. One is that they're thinking you're borrowing a ton of money. The second thing is they're thinking, how are you going to find a job? You know, because there's been lots of people throughout time. I've met people who have gotten into real estate property management. And you're saying, what's your degree in? I'm not kidding. They'll say, oh, my degree is in French horn. So the average person's like, I don't want to get $100,000 of debt. And also, I don't want to get a degree. And what was the point of that, right? And so then along comes Valencia, and totally affordable.
Yes.
And then degrees that actually matter. Am I telling the truth? Are your degrees affordable?
Absolutely. Our degrees are absolutely affordable, and they do matter. And I do think that students are under so much pressure to select the right major.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, look at me, physics and Spanish, right? Like, how does that directly tie into my job? Well, it may be hard to see, but I do think that having that college education prepares individuals to be really good critical thinkers and contributing members,
sure,
to society, right? So there's so much emphasis on getting that major selection correct, and I don't know if it's as important as we make it out to be. But I do want to go back to that question of affordability, because one of the things that I've found is that many in our community have come to believe that going to college is synonymous with going into debt. And I can understand that, right? Because there's so much attention to the student debt crisis, and it is a real issue. But you do not have to spend $100,000 to go to college. And to me, that's a bit frustrating when I ask the community, how much do you think a degree from Valencia costs? The most common answer I hear is $50,000.
Wow.
And the reality is that the tuition cost for a degree from Valencia is just about $6,000.
Wow.
Not per semester, not per year, for the entire degree. Our tuition cost, if you enroll full-time at Valencia, is less than the cost of the meal plan at any university that you might go live at.
Wow.
So there are ways to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to go to college, for sure. But that does not have to be the way. And a very small percentage of Valencia students actually take out student loans. The average loan amount is about $5,000. So very few students take out a loan. And when they do, it's a moderate amount. But it's also true that about a third of our students pay nothing out of pocket to attend. That's right. Between financial aid and scholarships. If a student has financial need, it is quite likely that they will actually have no out-of-pocket cost to go to college.
And as a side note, you guys do some crazy, cool stuff. Like, if there's a young lady that's been a victim of, like, human trafficking, full ride, doesn't pay a nickel.
That's right. That's
right. You guys do some amazing stuff.
That's
right. You find ways to help. But I want to make sure I'm nailing this point. So there's somebody out here listening to this, and maybe their kid is a high school senior. And they think, oh, well, you know, they've kind of expressed maybe they want to be a nurse, but gosh, that's going to cost, you know, $100,000. That's not going to happen. You're like, hey, wait a minute. I'm waving your hand over here saying it's $6,000.
That's right.
By the way, there's a good chance it's zero.
Right. That's exactly right.
This is the real deal.
This is the real deal.
And to the further point, like, you have all kinds of degrees that are like, you get the degree, you're working the next day.
That's right.
You're doing that job. And it could be welding, by
that's
the
right
way.
Absolutely
right.
So we have a couple of different pathways. One is the associate in arts degree, which is intended to prepare students for transfer. And by the way, every single graduate of Valencia College is guaranteed admission to the University of Central Florida. So here we have this, what's become a very highly selective university in our backyard. And if you want a guaranteed way in, you come to Valencia, get your associate's degree, and you're in. And when you graduate from UCF, your diploma looks as if you were admitted as a freshman. There's no difference.
Wow.
So that pathway has been so powerful that more than 36,000 Valencia alumni have gone on to earn their bachelor's degree from UCF.
That's a big number.
It's a big number, and it's a lot of cost savings for families.
Right. I mean, by the way, if we extrapolate the math out,
correct,
it's hundreds of thousands, millions. I mean, it's a big deal.
Yeah, it's hundreds of millions saved.
Yeah.
We have about 40 different associate and science degree programs, which prepare students for careers, immediately for careers. So anything from hospitality and culinary arts. So we have this amazing baking and pastry program at the downtown campus, to our arts and entertainment program at our East campus, to nursing and allied health and engineering. We've got a very, very broad array of programs. And then we also have accelerated skills training programs that range anywhere from 4 to 24 weeks in length. So someone saying, hey, I don't want to go to college for 2 or 3 or 4 years to then get a job. If you can give us a couple of months, we can get you the skills that are necessary for employers. We actually, at our graduations, it's the coolest thing. We've had, I've been to a graduation, for example, for a apartment maintenance technician program. It's an 11-week program that prepares individuals to work at apartment complexes in maintenance. And those students will walk out of the graduation ceremony with 3 job offers and have to sort of compare, you know, which one is best for them. It's extraordinary.
Awesome. You know, as I get older, I become sort of a little bit of grumpy old man. There's a little bit of me. That's a little bit of like, get off my lawn. You know, I got a little bit of that in me. But sometimes I'm around guys and they'll get grumpy and then the people say, well, college isn't for everybody. They should bring back shop and home ec and blah, 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 you know, that kind of stuff. And you guys are way ahead of that. You're like, duh, yeah, we're taking care of that, right? So, and listen, I'm going to tell you something. All the stuff I've done with colleges, right? You're in this cool academic boss role. I'm like cool uncle. I come in, I guess, lecture and I leave. And people say, don't you want to be a professor? I'm like, no. I don't want to grade anything. I just come in and talk to them. But of all the stuff I've ever done in graduations, let me tell you about the best, most impactful. I spoke as your Valencia College keynote speaker at the graduation in the 33rd Street Jail. You remember this?
Yes.
And Mike, these guys and gals, they're in their jumpsuits with their cap and gowns over their jumpsuits.
Oh, that's cool.
Can you imagine?
That is amazing.
And they're in jail, but they've taken a course on carpentry and stuff like that.
Right.
They're making picnic tables.
That's right.
And then when they get out of jail, they can get a job working on I-4, doing construction, stuff like that. But here's the part that make you cry. I'm up there and do my thing. Or like right before I got up there, they had a PowerPoint and they had photos of them. They were like kids staring at the photos. And I was trying to figure out what's going on. I'm like, you know what? They're not used to seeing pictures of themselves.
Mm.
Right? Mm. Like them seeing themselves. I mean, my gosh, you're talking about life. Mm. Giving someone life.
That's wonderful.
Right?
That's right.
You know, and so, you know, we think about as a community member and like, you know, when somebody's incarcerated, we're spending tax dollars on them. When they come out and they become a taxpayer, that flip switch economically, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. So affordable, right? It's practical. It's real, all that stuff. I want to hit on one last topic before we wrap up. And it's the subject of shame. Shame. I meet people. I mean, all the time. And I'll, because I kids, you know, I got senior high school and freshman college. And I'll say, oh, where's your kid going to school? And they'll be like, oh, I'm not going to Valencia. And I'm always like, what is your problem? Like, that's great. Every kid's got a different path. You know, every kid. And like, lots of people go to college and then university, some of the college go move on. Al Weiss is, I think you would argue, is maybe the most successful executive this community's ever produced. Long-term CEO of Disney. When you go down Main Street and Magic Kingdom, look up to your left on that sort of faux second floor. His name is up there with Roy Disney, for crying out loud. He's a Valencia grad.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, so there's no shame in that. It's a wonderful, beautiful, cool thing. So can you just talk about that for a second?
Absolutely. I think, you know, there's a national sitcom that made fun of community colleges, right?
Right.
So, I mean, in that regard, we sort of start behind the eight ball, but I hear you, right? Sometimes you hear Valencia's being called the 13th grade, or you hear it being called Kirkman High. It's not. It's the real deal. It's super high quality. You won't find a classroom that has more than 35 students. In many ways, I would argue we're higher quality than some of the bigger name institutions because we really provide that personal attention and that care for our students. I do feel like there's a bit of an obsession in this country on college rankings, beyond football, by the way. Mm-hmm. But those college rankings are all based on who those universities exclude. And I just want to say how proud I am of who we include, which is the top 100% of all applicants. And we measure our success by the success of who we include rather than who we exclude.
That is beautiful and awesome. There's a comedy show called Superstore that kind of makes fun of people working at kind of a Walmart kind of setting. And my daughter and I were watching it and I said, you know, this show would not work if it was at Publix. as Publix as an ESOP. And those employees make so much money from that, right? And it's the same thing with community and Valencia. Not the same thing.
That's right.
Not all community colleges are the same.
That's right.
But Valencia is a treasure in our community. You are a treasure in our community. And I thank you so much for you and all that you're doing and changing lives. You know, Mike, I've been to Valencia College graduations where I've had a young lady say to me, who's about to walk on stage, and she said, let me introduce my mom. And she's graduating with her mom.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
When Valencia College built their campus in Poinciana, a young lady said, we're going to go to college here, and then our parents will go to college here.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Oh, my gosh. Just so great. So thank you, President Valencia, for being on the show.
It is a privilege. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. This is John Crossman. This has been the Crossman Conversation. And as always, support your local HBCU.
This has been Crossman Conversation, produced by a Crossman Career Builders Mark Radio Production.